As we've been looking at the Gospel of John, we are reminded he is the last living apostle. He is going to give us a window to look back into history, to go all the way back to the Old Testament, back to Moses, back to the beginning, all the way traveling down the corridor of time to the present. And John brings us there. He helps us know what are we to see? What are we to understand in yesterday, in the light of yesterday? And then he gives us all of that information in the Gospel of John, Revelation, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. He gives us this information by God's grace so that we are able to have what we need to know, what we need to understand. We have it. So we aren't in the dark. We're in the light. We're to move intelligently and reasonably and scripturally before God. Now, so in the Gospel of John is the height of all of the three synoptic Gospels, and then there's the Gospel of John. He brings together everything, including those three Gospels. And thus, we don't have any mention of a lot of things that are found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. There's no birth, there's no Bethlehem, none of it. None of it. It's all yesterday. And to give us the window of where we are today, not then. Thus, John, the Gospel of John, we share together that God offers his grace to whosoever. And in verse 12, verse 10, remember, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And we shared that together in the light of our day. The world just doesn't know. They should know, but they don't know. They choose not to know. And then, verse 11, the people that should know, to the Jew first, then to the Gentile, he came unto his own, but his own received him not. They did not receive him. They did not know him, did not receive him. So now the invitation is made in the light of all of the information, all of the exercise of the Apostle Paul and Peter and all of them that they've done. The John is going to say, this is what you need to understand. Verse 12, as many as received him, and we share together that, received him, the wonderful person of who he is, the Word become flesh. And to receive him into our heart, not to accept. The word accept isn't used in the Bible. It's to receive. It's a relationship. Accept does not require a relationship. Received does. And thus, as many as received him, to them God gave. God did the giving. He gave what? He gave power. And remember, we shared together, this isn't like dynamite, dynamo, dynamic. No, this is power, might, authority. Authority, you'll see it translated. The right and the might, authority. What God gave to whosoever would receive him. The authority. The right to choose. The right to choose what? To become a son. The word son is the word child. Sometimes it's not that, but in this case it is. To them become the sons, the children of God. You can choose to be a child of God, to have a unique relationship to God, except you come as little children. You can't get to God. Except you come as little children, you can't get into the kingdom of heaven. You got to come as little children. I give you the right and privilege to choose to be little children, to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, who makes that possible. And then the end of the statement, even, verse 12, even to them that believe on his name. Resting, believing like you do in the pew, resting down, fully persuaded, fully confident, fully relying, without any question, doubt, or anything. You're putting all your weight down on who he is. You believe. You come to him and rest down upon him. Believe in his name, all that he is, his nature, his essence, his being, all that God is. We're going to rest on who you are, God, with all of our heart. Now, having said that, now, verse 13, and you'll know, please, which were born not of blood. And so you have three statements made, which were born not to begat, to be born. And by the way, hold your finger here a minute and go over to John chapter 3. John chapter 3 and verse 3. Jesus answered to Nicodemus and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And that verb is repeated all the way down as you turn. Verse 5, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And thus, born again, that's the word. You got to be born. It's a spiritual birth. You already had a physical birth. Physical allows you to have a spiritual. If you were never born physically, you would then never have the opportunity to be born spiritually. Born physically, you die and go into eternity without God. To be born spiritually, you die, but you never die. You go on. You have a life that lasts as long as God. You have a relationship to God, which is eternal life. Thus, in chapter 1, verse 13, so the verb, that which is born again, to beget. Thus, not of blood, bloods plural, not of bloods, no. What do you mean not of bloods? No seed, no natural descent, no human birth. We're all in the line of Adam. We all humans. There's no way you can have this birth, that you can receive him and become a child of God because you're a human. Being a human will never get you there. Never. Secondly, nor of the will of the flesh. And here we're looking at out of the flesh, the will, the active volition. So you can have human nature has all kinds of resolve, all kinds of commitment. It does. The flesh, human ingenuity, humans versus God. Humans can never do what God can do. Humans can't produce and make a person a child of God. Thirdly, in verse 13, nor of the will of man, the will, the active volition again, of man, male, the design, the determination, people at its, man at its best, whatever, however, whoever, whatever arrangement you wish, however you wish to do it, you cannot determine, you cannot design anything, anywhere, anyhow, for anyone to become a child of God. You can't do it. No one. It's impossible. Utterly impossible. But, the end of verse 13. But, it is possible for God. God is able to do it. It is God's doing. Be fully assured, if you become a child of God, and you choose to receive him and become a child of God, be fully assured, absolutely relying, without question, without doubt, without fear, without compromise, without contention. It's a sure thing. God does it. When God does anything, it's done. Done. When God says, amen, it's done. Now, with that in mind, you have the introduction to verse 14. And verse 14 is the verse 14 in the Greek is one long sentence, and it's the heart of the gospel. The gospel of John is summed up in verse 14. The whole thing is in verse 14. So now, coming out of that, it has to be of God to become a child of God. God has to do it. Therefore, in verse 14, and the Word was made flesh. Remember, this is the last time John will use the Word. You have it in verse 1, and the Word became flesh, etc. John won't use the Word again, W-O-R-D. He's done. He's now moving forward in the light of he became flesh. Now, in verse 14, and the Word was made fleshly, physical, human. He caused it to come into being. He made it happen. You have it in verse 3. All things were made, came into existence by him. And verse 3, and without him was not anything made. Nothing came into existence apart from him. And he was made. He came into existence by God. By God. God did that. God did everything else. God did him. The Word was made flesh and blood, made like unto his brethren, the Jew. And in the light of that, and which was made flesh and dwelt among us, the Word, God stepped into creation. Before the foundation of the world, God had it all set up. Christ died. And God in the fullness of time, you know, great Galatians 4 and verse 4, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman. There's your verb, made. God made it happen. Made of a woman, under the law. God sent his Son in the fullness of time. God did it at the right time. And John is telling us, I want you to know, God has put it all together, and God has presented to us himself, as it were. And thus, you know, if you read in Isaiah chapter 40, you may want to turn there simply to exercise. Isaiah chapter 40. Remember, John the Baptist's ministry was to be a voice crying out in the wilderness, introducing the public ministry of our Lord. And in John chapter 40, in the light of that, verse 6, the voice said, cry, and he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is as grass. He became like flesh. And all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it, and it goeth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion, that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, what? Behold your God. John the Baptist introduced our Lord Jesus Christ, the Word become flesh, God. He introduced God to the people that were should be most ready to receive it, but they didn't. Over in on your way back, over to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Behold your God. That was the message. John, Gospel of John. I present to you God, if you would. Hebrews chapter 10, picking up, please. In verse 5, wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a body thou hast prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. They didn't accomplish anything. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offering and offering for sin, thou wouldst not. neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that it may establish the second. He answers the law. He finishes the law. He dies on the cross and pays the penalty. Verse 10, By which will, God's will, we are sanctified and set apart through the offering of the body of Christ, of body of Jesus Christ once for all. God prepared a body. The Word became flesh. The Word became flesh. God prepared a body so that the world would see the Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. God, the Word, would see and understand God. How are we going to know God? He will explain. He will interpret. He will exegete God for us. Back over to John, the Gospel of John. And you will know, please, in verse 18. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom, the lap, the breast of the Father. He hath declared, explained, interprets, gives explanation. God, what are you like? How can we understand an invisible God? Invisible, infinite, in every direction, everything and forever is in the middle of him. How do we understand that? God said you couldn't. But I'm going to make it possible for you to understand who I am. I've given you my word. I now give you the one who gave the word, God the Son. God the Son is going to be presented in a human body so that you will be able to see, when you see him, you will see me, said God. I am going to make it possible for you to understand what I'm like. I'm going to go and put myself on planet Earth among people that should know, based on the Old Testament scripture, according to the scripture, and I'm going to demonstrate what I'm like. The Word became flesh, and dwelt among us. And you'll notice, please, and dwelt among us. Now the word dwelt, means that in the whole business, in his entire life, his entire human life, he is dwelt. He is tabernacle, the word tabernacle, tent, to be seated in a tent, to set up a tent, a dwelling, a human body. God, that's what you're doing. That's right. I'm setting up a tent. I'm going to set up a tent so you can understand. God said, I want you to understand who I am. I'm going to set up a tent so you can see me. I'm going to set up a tent so you can see my presence. I'm always presence, but you can't see me. I'm going to make it visible for you. Now, having said that, to set up a tent, tabernacle. Over, if you would, please, in the light of that, to be tabernacled among men, over to Exodus chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17. We were there on prayer meeting. Exodus 17. And you would note, Israel is in the wilderness, and as we shared, without getting in all of the context, just to pick up the expression, their attitude. In verse 7, And he called the name of the place Massah, that is temptation, and Meribah, that is chiding or being contentious, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, Now what on earth were they doing that challenged God? Is the Lord among us or not? Is God present among us or is he absent? That's what they want to know. Now, with that in mind, God, are you going to settle that for them? I am, said God. Over to chapter 25, Exodus chapter 25. And in Exodus 25, going, if I can, to verse 8. Remember, they're going to make a tabernacle. tabernacle, a tent of meeting, a tabernacle, going to set up a tent. Verse 8, let them make me a sanctuary, a place to dwell in, that I may dwell, live, exercise, live among them. According to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle, Moses built it. God designed the blueprint. Moses followed the blueprint. God designed the blueprint, and King Solomon made it according to the blueprint, God's blueprint. So no architect did it on earth. God did it. And thus in verse 9, according to all that I show thee, after the manner of the tabernacle, and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it. Verse 21. What are we going to do in the tabernacle, the tent of meeting? And thou shalt put the mercy seat upon the, remember there's the holy place, that's the larger compartment, and the holy of holies, the smaller compartment. The smallest compartment holds the Ark of the Covenant, on top of the Ark of the Covenant, Ten Commandments therein, and the mercy seat. Verse 20:21. And thou shalt put the mercy seat above the Ark, and in the Ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee. And there will I meet with thee. You want to have an appointment with me? That's where I am. You can come to my office. Office hours are 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Every single minute of every single day, you can come to my office. That's where I am, as it were. Verse 22, there will I meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubims, which are upon the ark of the testimony, of all things which I will give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel. And so here the priest could go in and meet before God, the high priest especially, could get before God once a year, and get before God and come into that place, into that tent of meeting, where they would meet God. On the other side of the curtain, you can't see through it, only once a year, the Day of Atonement. And the Jews, you know, things they did, tradition says, they went and would fill the room with steam, smoke, as it were, so that when you went into this little room, which is all dark to begin with, thou dark, you couldn't see. Oh, maybe you could see. The Shekinah glory. And into the room, dark room you would go, and then you would go and you would put the blood on the ark. On the mercy seat, you would sprinkle the blood. And they even said at times they would tie a rope, something, to the ankle of the high priest. So in case he died in there and he didn't come, we could pull him out. Because no one can go in there. On the other side of the curtain, God said, you're on this side, I'm on that side. We will meet. I will commune with you. That's where I'm going to go. We're going to get together. Now, and you would remember, jumping ahead, when the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, Hebrews 10. That thick curtain between the holy place and the holy of holies, that thick curtain that is claimed by the Jews, teams of horses, each going in different directions, could not rip the curtain. That thick, that strong. When Christ died on the cross, do you remember what happened to the curtain? It ripped from top, not the bottom, from the top down. It ripped in two. God made it possible to get through, to meet God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now, keeping that in mind, over, if you would, please, to verse 29. Let me go back up a bit. Chapter 29, verse 45. And let me tie it again, just a simple statement so you don't have to be in the dark. 29, God is going to tell us again. Verse 45, I will dwell among, I will be tabernacled among the children of Israel, tented, and I will be their God. And they, verse 46, and they shall know that I am the Lord their God that brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. Wonderful God, wonderful. That's right. Wonderful God. Over to 2 Samuel chapter 7. We're coming back here. Hold your finger here. 2 Samuel chapter 7. And if I may pick up, remember David wants to build the temple. David wants to build the temple. David isn't going to be allowed to build the temple. He's going to have all the pattern. He's going to hold the blueprint in his hand, but he can't build it. Now, God, what did you tell David? What did you tell him? Verse 6. Whereas, 7:6, 2 Samuel. Whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle. I'm in a tent and tabernacle. If you want to find me, go to the tent. The tent, the tent, the tabernacle. I'm going to be there. God, that's right, I'm going to be there. And you know what I'm going to do with that tent? Over to Exodus 40. Exodus chapter 40. In Exodus chapter 40, remember the tabernacle is finished, and they set apart, dedicate the tabernacle in the wilderness. And you are familiar in Exodus 40, verse 34, something wonderful, inaugurated the tabernacle. The dedication was a dedication service by God. Verse 34, then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not, verse 35, Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. That's right. Now, God, what are you going to do? Is the Lord among us or not? God, what are you going to do? I'm going to show you. And I'm going to go and have a tent, a tabernacle. And I'm going to put the tabernacle right smack in the middle of the 12 tribes of Israel, 3 tribes in north, south, east, and west. I'm going to put 3 tribes, and they're going to be right in the middle. It's going to be right in the middle. And in fact, you aren't going to move unless it moves. You're going to follow it. Wherever it stops, you stop. You are going to be governed by that tent, the Shekinah glory, the fire by night and the cloud by day. I am going to be there. You are going to say, you won't say, are you, dare you going to say, is the Lord among us or not? Are you going to say that? Slow to say it. God, there you are. That's right. I'm right in the middle. God, what have you done for us? The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hang on. Over, if you would, to 1 Kings, chapter 8. 1 Kings and chapter 8. And picking up, please, 1 Kings chapter 8. Oh, in the dedication, remember again to remind you of the dedication of the temple, Solomon's temple. God dedicated it again. He set it apart. And therefore, chapter 8, picking up in verse 10. And it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that, verse 11, the priests could not stand to minister to serve because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. And the dedication tent. I'm always in a tent, a temple. I'm always there. I did that for Israel. And his own received him not. They had all kinds of opportunity. They said, nothing doing. Here he is among them. The word became flesh, but the Jew at that time received him not. Back over to Exodus chapter 33. And you'll notice each time is the glory. Glory is the dedicating, marked glory, is that which makes an impression. We did it in Sunday school. The wealth, the worth, the weight that puts out front to say, wow, to get your attention. Thus, Exodus 33, picking up, please. Remember the glory. The people are living in the glory of God. In the wilderness. They're living in it. It's all over the place. God, we got it. Flowers, birds, bugs, bees, rain, snow, sleet. I'm not trying to rush winter. All of it's there. Everywhere we look, and look in our own body, we put our hand, thumbs, our own senses, smell and touch and taste, and wow! All evidence, if we'd pay attention. Thus, in Exodus chapter 33, Moses, do you know all that? Yes, he did. But you know, he understood the grandeur and the greatness, the glory of God. And he saw that he knew all about it. He was the one that could go into the tabernacle, the tent. Exodus 33, you would recall, verse 14. Remember, God's going to judge, God is punishing Israel, not going to go with them any further on the journey. Verse 14, and he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Moses pleads, God, we aren't. That was a wonderful decision. Moses, you're stubborn. That's right. I'm not going anywhere, God, without you. Isn't that good? Would you dare to say that? God, I'm not going anywhere without you. Now, thus, God said, I'm going to go. And verse 15, he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up thence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us, so shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth? We're going to be a separate people. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, Moses said, show me thy glory. He already saw it in the tabernacle. He did, yes. But man, once you see the glory of God, then you can't get enough. Wow. Verse 19, and he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I'll be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me. Here I am. Thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass that while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, in the hole, hide you in the rock, and will cover thee with my hand so you can't see me. I will pass by while I pass by, and I will take away my hand after I've demonstrated my glory, and thou shalt see my back parts, the after part, the afterglow, but my face shall not be seen. God said, I'm going to give you a demonstration. I'm going to show you a marvelous glimpse of what I'm like in a moment of time. I'm going to cover you so you couldn't afford, you'll die. And then after I've done this demonstration, I'm going to take my hand away and you can see the afterglow. Moses came down from the mountain with the afterglow, It came down. Glow up there, they can't see that. Moses carried it down below. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, over, if you would, to the Gospel of John, chapter 1, 14. Chapter 1, verse 14. John 1 and 14. And you will know, please, I'll read verse 14. And the Word was made, came into existence, flesh and blood, and dwelt among us, tabernacled among us, tented among us. In what? Not a tent of cloth. Flesh. It's your tent, isn't it? 2 Corinthians 5. It's the tent you live in. The tent. The body that houses you. This physical body is what you live in. It's a tent, if you would, for you to live in. God. 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 You can't do better than that, can you? I mean, how can you do better than God, right? Of all the things to say, God, you see. Wow. Verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory. The glory of God in a tent, the tabernacle, the temple, the dedication, the person of God demonstrating Himself in the tent. If you want to find me, you go to the tent, the tabernacle. Go. I'm going to put myself in front of you. The tabernacle pointed to the future, where He would be dwelling among us in a human body. Thus, and the glory that we beheld. What did you behold, John? The glory which we beheld, the only begotten of the Father. Only one born, Father. What do you mean? He's the unique one. His humanity, Luke 1:35, Matthew 1:20. The Spirit of God did need no man. No one was born like you. You were born and conceived by the Spirit of God. You are the only born one like it. No one is like you in your perfect humanity. No one. The glory of God. The glory of the only begotten of the Father. God, you came to make yourself wonderfully known. And you did it by doing God. You sent yourself in Christ to demonstrate who you are. Now, having said that, this glory, this marvelous glory of the only begotten of God, the only begotten one, and thus He is the unique one of the Father. God the Father did it. How did you ever get born? Not 1:13, not of the flesh, blood, and will of man, and bloods. No, we're born, have to get a child of God by God. Well, how so? Well, as many as received Him. Well, who is Him? He is the one that became flesh and dwelt among you. He was made by God for you, so that you could meet God in Him, and God could meet you in Him. That together, you can come together, God and you in one person can come together in the wonderful saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And no other man was gotten as you have been gotten, God. So now having said that, the wonderful relationship declared to be the Son of God as we shared in verse 18. Now to tell, to make it very clear, the invisible becoming very visible. God in Christ, Christ in God, to receive the Lord Jesus Christ in time. God, you, the eternal, endless, timeless being, present yourself in time, subject to time, to the clock, in a human way, subject to the time, and in the light of eternity, God, you did that. You made flesh, dust, that's right, made of the dust of the ground. You, who are deity, made yourself dust. Yes, I did. I did that. You became who you are. and you demonstrated who you are, that you are God, wonderfully, wonderfully God. God, we're to honor you. Over to John chapter 2, John chapter 2 and verse 11. That's John's going to tell you about the wonderful God, the glorious God. And all the word, remember the word believe is used 99 times in the Gospel of John. Believe, 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 believe. Believe what? Believe the word. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. John said, hey, you dummies down the road, you better believe. You better understand. History has marched forward, and here you are in the middle, in the outworking of history. Do you understand the past has led to the present, and the present leads to the future? And you were created to know the God who created it all. You, we are the creatures of the past. We are the people benefiting from these United States of America, from way back with the Pilgrims in 1620, benefiting. To say, no, we got a Constitution, Declaration, we got all these things. Where do they come from? Well, they're there. And if we would hang on to them, they would help us, you see. But you can't put it aside. So now, in John chapter 2 and verse 11, what is his first miracle that he does? He's going to do all kinds of signs. And verse 11, this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Canaan of Galilee and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. God demonstrated his glory. He took plain old water pots, filled them with water, and then he made, in one moment, spoke, and they became fruit of the vine. Not alcoholic, fruit of the vine. Never tasted like that. Best tasting stuff ever. He did it, just like creating power. Over, if you would, John 11. John 11. John chapter 11. He did it again. John chapter 11, please remember with Lazarus. And you would pick up, if you would like, in verse 4, 11 verse 4. And when Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. It's all about doing and having things happen that bring out the magnificence of God. God's creative, redemptive power, kindness, grace, mercy. Verse 40, 11:40. And Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? Did I not tell you in verse 25 and 6, I am the resurrection and the life? He that believeth in me, though he were dead, verse 25, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Do you understand what this business is of life? It's a relationship, not a future heaven. It includes that. But it's going from the state of the absence of God, no relationship, to having a relationship. Going from death, the absence of God, light, life, to having life. Now, eternal life. Thus he did. And he raised Lazarus from the dead. That's what he did. He has the power to create, the power to save, the power to give life, the glory. Why'd you do all that? To let you know, I am a glorious God. The glory of God is for you to pay attention to who I am. Glory is to get an impression, make an impression upon you, like we did in 6 o'clock, Sunday school. The glory of God is to make an impression upon you, so you pay attention. God, can you do all this? Yes, I can. Thus, for us, over, if you would, Ephesians 1. Here we are on the other side. We're way looking back. John, we got the message. We were able to receive him. When we received him, we became a child of God. When I became a child of God, I entered into the marvelous privilege of having the glory of God in my heart. In my heart, as you know, John 17:22, my glory I give unto them. I give my glory. How can you glorify God if I don't give you my glory? I give you my glory, the wonderful person that I am in your life. And you're going to trust me for who I am, what I'm like. You're going to trust me with all your heart. Therefore, Ephesians and chapter 1. And picking up very quickly, you'll get it, you know it. Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Verse 12, to the praise of his glory. Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace. Verse 14, the end, unto the praise of his glory. Verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding. Verse 18, being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. What is the marvelous glory? What made the tent of Moses glorious? God did. Take God out of the tent and you can give it to the Philistines. Take God out of the tabernacle and Nebuchadnezzar can tear it down. Titus can tear it down. Put God in and you can't do that. Can't do that. God, what have you done? God, I've received the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I'm speaking for all of us, I hope. And I became a child of God. And God, Ephesians chapter 2, might as well go over there. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20. And I built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. You are the temple. And you allowed me the riches of the glory of my grace to come into your life. I make this vessel of dust glorious. I make it glorious, glorious. I'm there. John, I got it. John said, listen, I want you to understand what he's done. He's made it possible for he who dwelt in a tent and tabernacle, he who dwells in eternity, the invisible God, has become visible. He died on the cross so that the invisible God became visible to pay the penalty for our sin, so that we'd be able to turn through him, through the visible one, the Word become flesh, to see the invisible God who cannot be seen, to be able to enjoy God, to be able to enjoy you in a unique, wonderful way, privilege indeed, to be able to have you, a relationship to you as your child, a child, your child, a child of God, to be able to have the glory that belongs to the Son of God, to belong to the sons of God, to belong to a child of God. That glory. Christ in you, the what, dear friend? Do you know it? Colossians 1:27, Christ, what? I'll say it again. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Wow. Do you see what he's done? Marvelous. Marvelous. You say, we all sit there. We're Christians, we're Protestants, Catholics, whatever, Muslim, and we go to church, sit down, sing, sit, out, have hamburger at McDonald's, out we go. And people do that. They figured they paid their bill, they went to church, they did their religious duty as so-called Christians. If that's all it is, I can understand why people wouldn't go to church. And I told you 1,000 times, if it weren't real and it weren't right, you would never see me up here. I'm not a religious person. I hate religion. And I hate playing games. It has to be real. It has to be real, and it is. Then go for it. Go for it. Wow. Wow. And thus, over if you would, where you're here in Ephesians. Go with me, please, over to Titus. We'll close with Titus. God, here we are. Christ in you, the hope of glory. We are your 1 Corinthians 6, 19-20. We are bought with a price. We are the temple. We belong to God personally. Our flesh and blood becomes his. And we're able to enjoy a wonderful relationship to God. That's right. That's right. And the body of believers, 1 Corinthians 3, 16-17. The body of believers, it's his temple where he dwells. It's where he works. That's what I said. You can't replace. How are you going to replace the saints seated together and the assembly on the Lord's Day? How do you replace that? You can't do it. You can't do it anywhere in the world. It's a privilege indeed. Nowhere. And you want help, you want hope. I'd go where God is. That's what I do. I'd get where he is and what he's doing. And I got what you're saying. And you know the Psalm 73 and all of that. And he went into the where? When I went into the sanctuary, everything came on. God, where are you going to help us all get with it so that we can live our life in a wonderful way, in a wonderful way out there in the world? God, to the glory of God, eat and drink, whatever we do, to your glory and honor. And we can only do it because the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, because the Word was able to be received. We received the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And we chose to become a child of God. We believed, and God, you let it happen. You made it happen. Not of flesh and blood. No, you did it all by your lonesome, God. Wow. Wow. Titus 2:13. Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what we're doing. You have the glory of God. I give you my glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And we're waiting for what? Glory. John 17:24, if you took time, Jesus said, I can't wait. You have to wait, Lord, according to your timetable. I can't wait for you to be where I am, to see my glory. That's what you have. My glory is yours as a child of God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Wow. That's the gospel. Our Father and God, we thank you for thy Word, and help us, our God, in our feebleness. God, help us in our nothingness. Thank you for your grace and mercy. Spirit of God, honor your Son. Honor the Son of God, even God yourself. Honor yourself by honoring the Son, by honoring yourself, the Father. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. God, help us. Help us understand. Help us to stand and withstand. Help us to just get a taste. The wonderful, wonderful privilege of being a child, to choose to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. God, thank you very much. Help each one, our God. Fill each one with hope. Not in and of ourselves, but centered in your wonderful person. To glorify yourself in these earthen vessels. God, let it be so. In Christ's name, amen.